Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Marcus Buckingham has been the subject of in-depth profiles in the New York Times, Fortune, Fast Company, Harvard Business Review, USA Today, and is routinely lauded by such corporations as Toyota, Coca-Cola, Master Foods, Wells Fargo, and Disney as an invaluable resource in informing, challenging, mentoring, and inspiring people to find their strengths and obtain and sustain long-lasting personal success. He's author of the new book, Stand Out, the groundbreaking new strengths assessment from the leader of the strengths revolution. Marcus, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you so much for including me.
Marcus, what does Stand Out offer readers that gives them the edge on the job?
Standout is actually a strengths assessment masquerading as a book. With the book, there is a key. You go to the back of the book and you find your unique key that enables you to take the online strengths assessment called Standout. And then you can go back to the book or you can see online what your results mean. It measures you on 9 strengths roles and then it pinpoints your top 2. Once you know where your top 2 strengths roles are, you can then combine those top 2 to discover your comparative advantage. Whether you are a leader, a manager, in sales, or in service, what's your edge? What's your unique comparative advantage that gives you an edge over everybody else? And then what can you do to sharpen that edge?
How did you develop the information you use to conduct the assessment?
There's 2 parts to that. One is, how do we decide what those 9 strength roles are? And the second is, how do you come up with the scenarios and the questions to be able to measure that? In answer to the first question, over the years, it's become apparent that certain themes of talent or certain traits cluster together. So my hope in building Standout was to identify what are the most prevalent and most powerful combinations of talents. We hypothesized 9 combinations of talents, and over the last 10 years, we'd given pre-employment selection assessments to about 450,000 people, and then we'd looked at the performance of those people after they were hired. So we then knew which particular theme or talent combinations were actually most predictive of job performance. So the 9 strengths roles came from our qualitative analysis of what are the most powerful combinations and which combinations lead to the most productive performance. You have to then design a whole series of questions and then you test them out. We designed more questions than we would end up needing. We gave them to 257,000 people and we looked at the data to see whether or not certain questions were actually measuring what we thought they were going to measure. We ditched some of the questions which weren't working, didn't seem to be measuring what we thought they would measure. Other questions were doing a great job. So we culled the interview down to the questions that currently remain, and then we went back out and gave it to about 20,000 more people so that we could see whether or not it does have what's called construct validity. Are the questions measuring what you think they're measuring? As a result of that, we got our assessment. 9 strengths roles and the questions and the scenarios to measure them.
Okay, if I were reading this book and using the assessment, what would I get from it?
You may well be surprised by your results because the results of Standout don't measure how you see yourself. They measure how you come across to other people. They measure what you repeatedly do and therefore the impact you have on other people. Previous assessments were attribute assessments. You are asked to rate yourself on a list of qualities. Myers-Briggs works that way, StrengthsFinder works that way, DISC works that way. And the summary of your results is a summary of how you see yourself. And that's useful, no question, to help you understand your style. With Standout, we don't ask you to rate yourself on a list of qualities or traits. We instead give you scenarios. We might give you a scenario like, a colleague at work passes your idea off as her own. What would you do? And then we keep asking scenarios like that and saying, what would you do? And we give you 4 choices for each scenario. For each of the 9 strength roles, you're given 12 chances to pick an answer that reflects that strength role. So in the end, the summary of your results is a summary of what you would repeatedly do. And the point of the assessment is you can either come across this way accidentally, or you can come across this way and have this impact on people on purpose. Most of us would be an awful lot more effective if we could be intentional and purposeful about how we have an impact on others. But we didn't really design Standout for the individual. We designed it for the manager. These days, a manager needs a fast, simple, straightforward way to identify on your team how to get the most out of each person. You do get this nice 22-page report on you, but the real focus for us was to provide each manager with a one-page cheat sheet on how to focus, how to reward and engage, how to challenge each of the people on your team, bearing in mind what their top two strengths roles are.
You mentioned that there are 9 strengths.
Yes. There are 9 strength roles. First one is advisor. If you're an advisor, you're a very practical, pragmatic person who's energized by other people's problems. Then there's connector. If you're a connector, you're always looking for the powerful connections that can occur between people and people, people and things, people and ideas, ideas and ideas. There's creator. If you're a creator, your first question is always, what do I understand? You like to see the patterns in things, and you go beneath the surface to see the concepts or insights that explain how things play out the way they do. You don't like surprises. You need time to ruminate. Then there's equalizer. Equalizers are people who see moral and practical order in the world and like to bring order to the world in their relationships with other people, where they think in terms of responsibilities, making things right. They also think about process. Then there's influencer. Influencers think always, how can I move you to action? Every interaction is like a sale. They're trying to move you to a close. They might do it through charm or through power of persuasion, but they're thinking about momentum, about moving you to an action that leads to a consequence. Then there's pioneer. If you're a pioneer, your first question is always, what is new? What is next? You see the world as a friendly place, a place that's full of ambiguity, but also a place that's full of opportunity. So what's around the next corner is probably a good thing, and the only way to find out is to walk around the next corner and see for yourself. So it's an entrepreneurial mindset that embraces the inherent uncertainty of the world, and is pretty sure that good things will happen. Provider is the next one. Providers are sensitive to the emotional situation or the emotional state of a person, and they hold space for it. If you're a provider manager, you create a very safe environment for your employees. They can share ideas with you, share confidences with you, and not worry you're going to spread them to everyone else. Then there's stimulator. If you are a stimulator, your default in any situation is always, how do I raise the spirits of this place or this person? How do I raise the energy? How do I make sure that we have a more positive vibe at the end of the meeting, end of the conversation, than there was at the beginning? They're sensitive always to the emotional trajectory of a conversation, of a presentation, of a room, and always are thinking about how to make sure that we are elevating that trajectory. You need some downtime if you're a stimulator, but you also love your stage time. And then last one is teacher. And if you're a teacher, your first question is always, how can I learn? How can he learn? How can she learn? You see people as a work in progress. You like the fact that people are always in the state of becoming, that people are going to walk into your office and say, what are you going to do for my career now? As a teacher, you like the fact that the person's looking for ways to keep growing and developing.
Now, when you complete the assessment, what do you get from it?
When you're done, you get to see your top 2 strengths roles. Now, you'd see your full rank order of 1 through 9. And you may have all 9 of those strengths roles, but those top 2 combine to create a comparative advantage for you. So here's 1 and here's 2. And for each of those top 2 strengths roles, you see where you are at your most powerful. Here are phrases you can use to describe yourself, because in job interviews or even when it comes time to join a new team, many of us struggle to find the right words to sound contributive and self-aware without sounding like a braggart. You'll also receive actions and innovations you can use to make an immediate impact on a team. And then there's a section on how to take your performance to the next level and a section for each of your top 2 strengths roles on the pitfalls to watch out for. And then there's an area called your comparative advantage. Here's the careers that should fit you best with that advantage. Here's how to win with that advantage as a leader, as a manager, in sales and in service.
Marcus, which of the nine would position you best for success as a leader?
All of them. We had a chance to interview the 80 most recently promoted heads of large independent schools in this country. And although we did find a predominance of teacher and provider as the top two strength roles, which is no big surprise, nonetheless, we also found a representative of each and every one of the nine strengths roles. And you find this whenever you study leadership. Although there may be a profile of one strength role more predominant than another, people excel in leadership in radically different ways. If you look at the American presidents, for example, you might have Barack Obama, who is clearly an advisor, like David Cameron of the UK, people who are almost at their best when there's a crisis, when there's a problem, who are pragmatic and practical, and sometimes even let a situation grow into a crisis so that they can come in and solve it. And then there's a different kind of leader, like the second George Bush, who is clearly an equalizer, thinks in terms of right and wrong, and he is the decider. His father, by the way, was probably more of an advisor, pragmatic again. James Madison was clearly more of a connector. He's the one who somehow made the Continental Congress come together to put together the Constitution and bring together seemingly very disparate elements of American society, had managed to get them to agree on something that they were never going to agree on. And then if I were to pick the top two of Abraham Lincoln, it would be provider, stimulator. Provider, because his whole orientation of his life was always that no one should be left out of the union, no one should be left out of society. But also stimulate, a fantastic storyteller, always very sensitive to the emotional trajectory of the country, even to the point where he would not release the Emancipation Proclamation until after Antietam, because he realized that only by releasing the Emancipation Proclamation right after a Northern victory would the proclamations be stimulating and energizing, as opposed to desperate, which is what it would have looked like if they had released it while the South was winning their battles. So you can look across the whole spectrum of leadership and see different people who've excelled using very different strength roles.
Is that true for all categories?
Yes. When you look closely, you find that for any role, managing, sales, service, or leadership, there's no perfect profile. For example, we asked 45 of the best sales organizations to give us their top two salespeople. So we ran 90 of the best salespeople in America through Standout. And as you would expect, their top two strengths roles are influencer and connector. Connector because they make friends and networks. Influencer because they then turn friends into sales. Having said that, though, we found that there are people who sell because they're teachers. They help their clients learn something. And learning leads to loyalty. Then there are other salespeople whose lead strengths role is provider. And they sell because the client genuinely feels as though that salesperson does care about his emotional well-being in this transaction. And these salespeople build their business maybe more slowly, but they have fantastic referral networks. So there are only perfect or powerful practices that fit your profile. There's no perfect leadership profile, and we should stop defining one in advance. Instead, we got to figure out what's your way of leading, and then give you techniques and ideas and practices derived from people who share your way of leading so that you can become the most effective and authentic leader that you can possibly be.
This book helps identify pitfalls that come from mischanneling your strengths. Could you expand on that?
The challenge for you is, do you know how you repeatedly behave? And then can you figure out a way to channel it productively? If you look at Barack Obama, who is an advisor, it would be helpful for him to know that while it's valuable to come into the middle of a mess and clean it up, and while it's valuable to be at your calmest when everyone else is losing their head, the pitfall of that approach is that you allow things to come to a head. The good news about that is, of course, you're valuable in a situation that's a crisis. The bad news is, we don't want constant crises. We need you to figure out ways to use your way of leading so that we can avoid some of these stressful crises that we get into. You got to know how you lead so that you can channel it productively and avoid these pitfalls.
Let's take a look at another issue, and that's how can managers integrate this type of assessment into a rigid performance appraisal system?
The difficulty with most performance appraisals is they're defined in advance. They're formulaic. Here's what a leader should look like, or here's what a manager should look like. And then people are rated on these various competencies or traits. The individual person is hidden underneath these formulas of what it takes to lead. What I would suggest that managers do when you're coaching someone to get better as a leader is start with, who is this person? Your beginning point should not be, what is leadership? Because that is a useless question. To define leadership through a series of traits that you've defined in advance doesn't solve any problem at all. It just shows that you've thought through all the many different aspects of leadership. You've got to start with the individual. What is this person's multiplier? What's their comparative advantage that we can use so that then when we get into performance appraisal time, we can say, here are various outcomes that you need to hit. Given those outcomes, let's now look at your strengths and figure out how you use those strengths to drive these outcomes. And that, of course, is where real performance coaching leads to effectiveness. It's a great manager sitting down with a person and saying, how can I help you find your strengths-based path toward the performance we need from you? But let's start with you and a really deep understanding of what you bring before we start diving into all kinds of interventions and actions and course corrections that you may need to take.
Okay, so it seems that rigid performance appraisal systems focus on the weaknesses and not strengths.
Current performance appraisal systems define the style that they want to see from a leader. Now, it's not called style. It's called a competency profile or a capability profile. Somebody's defined in advance all the behaviors that we want to see from a leader or a manager, and you're rated against those. That's wrong. There is no leader that has every one of the qualities or capabilities defined by these profiles. You should begin with the individual. The second thing that's wrong is the belief that you will grow most as a leader by identifying your weaknesses and fixing them. There is absolutely no evidence at all that that's the way you grow as a leader. The preponderance of evidence is that you grow most as a leader when you figure out what kind of leader you are and then learn how to channel it most productively. That's a strengths-based approach to leadership development. You're never going to take Rudy Giuliani and turn him into Martin Luther King. You're not going to turn one leader into another. All we can expect of any leader is authenticity. And even if we don't like where we stand, so long as they're authentic, we will at least know where we stand with them. One of the most valuable commodities a leader can build is trust and authenticity from their followers. You are most authentic when you are playing to your strengths. Let's find out what they are, and then let's make them useful.
Now, before we wrap up, do you have any other thoughts or comments on the message you're trying to relay in the book? Anything you'd like to share?
Sure. The way in which we consume information in the regular world today is highly customized and individualized. Facebook's first question is, who are you? And based on the algorithm of you, it then feeds you ads that fit you. Netflix does the same in terms of your movie taste, and then it feeds you movies that fit you. Same with Slacker Radio, Pandora Radio, the NewYorkTimes.com has a recommendation engine, which means my front page is different than yours. So for each content provider, the very first question is, who are you? And then it will filter its content to fit you. The only place you don't see this happening is in business, in leadership development. Here, you see companies defining what leadership is and then imposing it upon people. We will see moving forward change as companies realize that the best way to deliver leadership development content to an individual has to be as customized as, say, Netflix is. We have to figure out the many different approaches and techniques and tricks and ideas and practices that leaders have in our company. We've got to harvest those. And then we've got to filter to you only those particular techniques and ideas that fit people who have the same strengths as you. So you're only getting those ideas that fit people like you. If we know what your top two strengths roles are, then that acts as a filter, and we can start to deliver to you only those techniques and innovations and ideas that fit people who have the same strengths roles as you. That's where leadership development and management development is going. It's where all content delivery is going. And I'd like to think that Standout will be right in the middle of that, serving as the filter to help us know who you are through the algorithm of you.
We've been speaking to Marcus Buckingham, author of the new book, Standout, the groundbreaking new strengths assessment from the leader of the strengths revolution. Marcus, thanks for being with us on Edgewise today.
Not at all, Dave.
AMA webcasts bring you 60 minutes of thought-provoking insight, specific answers to your management challenges, and conversations with renowned thought leaders. Best of all, they're all free. For a complete schedule of upcoming webcasts, visit the events calendar at amanet.org/events. We'd love to get your feedback on today's program. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.